this evening is pit stops making necessary changes. This is not about parents traveling down the road with their little babies. Race fans understand how important pit stops are in determining the outcome of a race. At the 2006 Daytona 500, several pit stop and pit crew issues were highlighted. They became major news stories, actually. Dale Earnhardt Jr. had reclaimed his old pit crew. He allowed another teammate to use his crew the previous year, but when Jr. started winning races, he decided that he needed to have his crew back for the 2006 season. And the even bigger news was the suspension of the crew chief from the Lowe's car that was driven by the eventual Daytona 500 winner, that was Jimmy Johnson. All the race teams begin with the same goal in the race. That is, of course, to win the race. And the team that usually wins is the driver and the pit crew who make the necessary changes in the course of the race. The same principle applies to all of our lives. You know, all newlyweds dream of a happy marriage. I have never conducted a premarital counseling where the couple said, Pastor, can you tell us how to have a boring, tension-filled, and unhappy marriage like most of the married couples we know? The secret to a dynamic marriage is not having a magnificent and expensive wedding which lasts about 20 minutes. I don't care what you do to them. When it all boils down to it, you can't extend them all that long. You know, the couples that are happy have to continue to grow and develop and make necessary changes that keeps the fires of passion and love and joy burning in the relationship. And whether you're seeking to improve your marriage or lose weight or quit smoking, build a business, or develop a dynamic faith, you must learn how to make effective and lasting changes. You know, we serve an awesome God who is faithful and true. His character never changes, but he expects and exhorts us to change as we grow in our Christ-likeness. And some changes occur by God's supernatural work upon our lives. Others happen as we apply spiritual disciplines to our lives and as we continue on to spiritual maturity. 1 Timothy 4 is the passage that we're looking at this evening, and I think it contains several strategies here in making effective changes. 1 Timothy 4:7, don't have anything to do with godless myths that old women like to tell. Rather, train yourself to live a godly life. Training the body helps a little, but godly living helps in every way. Godly living has the promise of life now and in the world to come. This is a statement that can be trusted and deserves complete acceptance. Certainly, we work hard and struggle to live a godly life because we place our confidence in the living God. He is the Savior of all people, especially those who believe. Insist on these things and teach them. Don't let anyone look down on you for being young. Instead, make your speech, behavior, love, faith, and purity an example for other believers. Until I get there, concentrate on reading scripture in worship, giving encouraging messages, and teaching people. Don't neglect the gift which you receive through prophecy. When the spiritual leaders place their hands on you to ordain you, practice these things. Devote your life to them so that everyone can see your progress. Focus on your life and your teaching. Continue to do what I've told you. If you do this, you will save yourself and those who hear you. This evening, to help us remember the strategies, I organized this material in the acronym of TRAIN. T-R-A-I-N, TRAIN. The first thing is to target the change. To make effective change, we must conduct a basic but often overlooked exercise of defining what and why we desire to make a specific change. Now, most people can state what they want, but many neglect the discipline of considering why. they want to change. Someone says, you know, I want to make a lot of money and live in a big house. But they have never considered that most wealthy people work extremely hard for their money, and the big houses require extra work. And I know of a couple of wealthy families that I read of who had downsized from big homes because the property and the house was just too much to work on top of their already busy schedules. But notice in this text that Paul tells Timothy what to do. He says here to train yourself to be godly. You know, and then he identifies the why, because it is profitable in all things. You know, when the why becomes the driving force, you'll make successful changes. A friend of mine made a massive change in his diet and exercise because the doctor said that his cholesterol was so high that he was at great risk for a heart attack. And he knew for a long time that he needed to make some changes, but the doctor told him that he might die. And so he finally had the motivation or the why that he needed them. Secondly, then, is relate with partners. Relate with partners. Effective change is usually made with the help of others. Now, it is possible to make some improvements as an individual or an isolated effort, but God created us as relational beings who need accountability and encouragement. And in this passage, Paul reminds Timothy of the gift that God had in him, that it was manifested in his life through the laying on of hands by the elders in verse 14. He says, don't neglect the gift which you received through prophecy when the spiritual leaders place their hands on you to ordain you. And then he also calls attention then to the public reading of Scripture and teaching and preaching. And it's within the context of a group of believers that Timothy will make changes to pursue godliness. Now, we are not lone rangers, but we are members to a unique community of believers that are to be powered by Christ. We are part of a team. And as a team, we discover that together, everyone accomplishes more. A state fair conducted an old-fashioned horse pull competition. Maybe you've been someplace where you watched one of these. You used to watch them, and then they thought that the horse competition was a little boring, so they started doing it with tractors and souped-up tractors, and all that got out of hand. It kind of got away from the basic thing that they were doing, but the grand champion horse pulled a sled of 4,500 pounds. The runner-up pulled a sled of 4,400 pounds. And some wondered how much the two horses could pull together as a team. And so some predicted that probably as a team then, that maybe they could pull 100 more. They could pull 10,000 pounds of combined weight. And so everyone was surprised when the horses, working at it as a team, pulled 12,000 pounds. Now, the third thing that we look here is apply supernatural resources. Apply supernatural resources. Successful change is never easy, which is why so many of us fail at it so often. Now, I'm convinced that one of the main reasons for our failure is that we attempt changing without the resources that God has provided. Now, just as we need partners, we need supernatural resources that God makes available to us to help make these life-changing adjustments. Effective change requires self-effort, but it also requires the touch of God on our lives. The psalmist declared this. He tells us that unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And this exhortation for Timothy to train for godliness in order to become an effective pastor follows instructions to be thankful and to sanctify anxious with prayer and the word of God. And we tap into spiritual power through praying and studying Scripture and through developing an eternal eyesight that's always looking forward, always looking to what? To the life to come. Now, we are all called to labor and strive, but notice our hope is not a self-effort, for it says our hope is in the living God. We find strength in knowing that God, who is working with us today, is also saving us, of course, for His benefit in the future. He wants to live with us. He wants to have our company. And so it is that He wants to provide with us all the necessary tools to make that possible. Fourth thing is to intercept the pattern. Now, psychologists call this next principle interrupting the pattern, but I like the word picture of interception. You know, Paul often used athletic images to communicate spiritual truth. Imagine an interception in a football game. When the defense intercepts the ball, a transformation takes place. Now, the defense becomes the offense, and they begin advancing the ball instead of just trying to stop and right where they are. Now, Paul tells Timothy to stop one pattern, which he says are irrelevant and silly myths, and train for godliness. In other words, intercept the destructive pattern and start doing something productive. Now, both of these actions are crucial for making effective change. You know, often our approach to change is the equivalent of sending the offense into the game while the defense is still on the field. Now, in a football game, there would be a penalty, of course, for having too many players on the field. And that would, of course, set us back. But some have failed to make a necessary change in their life because they just added one more activity in their already busy schedule. For example, you make a New Year's resolution to exercise. And your plan is to walk 2 miles at least 3 times a day, you know, and 3 times a week. Hey, 3 times a day would kill me. 3 times a week may do that also. But this is your resolution and not mine, by the way. But you're going to get up at 5:30 in the morning to do this. And to accomplish this goal, you got to get up an hour early. And most people fail in this wonderful resolution because they never intercept or interrupt the pattern. You know, getting up at 5:30 a.m. is early. But the governing principle of sufficient rest that affects your energy level comes into play here. And so it's not when you go to bed or when you get up. It's sufficient rest is determined by how long you sleep. So here's a key application. You get up an hour early for exercise. Well, that requires then interrupting that late night TV and then going to bed an hour early. Now, 5:30 a.m. is not too early, but going to bed at 12:30 or 1 o'clock is too late. And ultimately, fatigue and laziness defeats our desire for exercise, and we hit the snooze button for 5 more minutes of this precious sleep. Now, other passages of Scripture confirm this principle. As the saints of God, we are called to put off the old and put on the new. You know, it's not enough just to stop doing something. We must replace it with a positive. Take away the negative habit, but replace it with a positive behavior. Interceptions are abrupt changes, but notice the instructions that he gives here. Don't have anything to do with godless myths. Have nothing to do with this unpredictable myth, but replace that myth with godly training that is profitable in all things. And then now, is the final one is now. You know, the final strategy is for us is to act right now. You know, by using the word now, I don't want to communicate the effective change happens immediately, because it doesn't. But it is imperative to understand that you can do something now that will lead to the desired result in the future. One of the biggest obstacles to making effective change is failing to appreciate that change is a process and not an event. Now, Paul says this to Timothy here. He says, practice these things so that your progress may be evident. Training, by definition, is doing little things today that you can do in order to accomplish bigger things that you can't do now. But if you keep doing the little things now, you'll be able to accomplish greater goals in the future. You know, the now factor applies in all areas of our life. You know, a preschooler learns his ABCs before attempting to write a book report. You know, you may not be able to lose 30 pounds this week, but you can begin today by making changes that will enable you to lose 30 pounds in 3 or 4 months. Pastor and author John Ortberg said, training is the single most helpful principle for spiritual transformation, not trying harder, but training wisely. Understanding the now factor helps prevent discouragement. You know, all of us have probably experienced giving up a desired goal because attainment seemed too far removed from our starting point. You know, Paul's encouragement to Timothy was to focus on the what? Progress. Another wise sage said, every great journey begins with the first step. We need to know our destination or the goal, but we also need to enjoy the scenery along the way. Progress, not distance to the finish line, should be how we measure the effectiveness of the change that we are striving to make. And you can make that change. And you can start training today.